Amen. It is good to see this number this morning, and I'm just thankful to be here. I know I use that word a lot, and I don't want to overuse it, and I don't know that you could really overuse it. You might misuse it, might say it, not mean it, but I think the Lord sometimes gives us opportunity to be thankful, look back on our lives and what have you, and that's kind of what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. I know it's our Thanksgiving season, our time that we celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday coming up, and I'm looking forward to that. I really am, and a couple of announcements that I wanted to share with you. This Tuesday night service, what I'd like for us to do is come with a testimony, a verse, a song, something on our heart, and I like hearing from the congregation. I want to hear from you. The Lord has done a lot of things in our church, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And I like giving opportunity to people to share things sometimes that maybe we're pressed on time or feel like we are, and maybe not share things or say, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to this time, maybe next time. But come prepared Tuesday night with a song, testimony, verse, whatever's on your heart, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Just look forward to that. And I wanted to share also that Brother Daniel Jones, he reached out to me yesterday. He's a friend of my friend Bradley Wilson, and he is a medical missionary, and he goes to different countries, and he wanted to know if we might be able to let him come and present to us, and with everything being busy as it is in December and January, I thought maybe the sooner the better for that sake, and so he's planning on being here next Sunday for the Sunday school hour and preaching hour, and looking forward to that. That's something a little bit different. He said he'd present the ministry to us, his ministry, his work to us during Sunday school, and then preach for us, and look forward to meeting him officially and seeing him. Brother Bradley has told me about him several times, and so I'm looking forward to that. But if you will, let's be turning to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Get the commercials out of the way so we can get back to the show, right? The program, as it were. Never want to call it a show. It's not a show, it's the program. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, just want to look at verses 12 through 17. This is a very personal type message. You'll have to look at it pertaining to yourself. We should always look at that. I think sometimes inadvertently maybe we look at the church as a group, and I understand that, as a congregation. But you think about what you bring to the Lord, or how you express your thankfulness to the Lord, or how you express your relationship with the Lord, that is a very one-on-one thing. You can't really check in and check out. It's you. And I was thinking this morning, what would the service be like if you were the only one here? And I want you to approach it from that viewpoint this morning, if you can. Think about it. If nobody else was here today, just you and the Lord, and what the Lord's laid on your heart, and as you're meditating with Him, or as you're communing with Him, fellowshipping with Him, what would that look like to you? What we're seeing here, we see with Paul, he's talking to Timothy, the young preacher, and Paul was trying to give him some words of encouragement. I find a lot of encouragement from 1 and 2 Timothy. I see a lot of charging and a lot of Paul trying to really help a young preacher out and try to help him and tell him some things, show him some things from experience and some things you just honestly have to experience, try to make sense of things. You know, it's been wonderful, felt such a wonderful spirit around the church the last several weeks. And many people have even made note of that, and I thank God for that. You know, and it seems like things are going well. And you know, when things are going well, you shouldn't be feeling kind of down. You know, I mean, if you don't have a reason to feel down, why should you feel down? But do you ever feel down without a reason that you can think of? Brother Tim, the way you opened up and before Sunday school was spot on with the message. Think about that. I think about our church, our well-being, Christians and their well-being. And there's a lot of things that happen, and it wears on people. And I was thinking about it this week and just meditating. Even yesterday, it felt like it was just kind of just an awkward day, just kind of different. I really believe the Lord gives those to us sometimes so we can meditate on things. We can slow down. We can think about things and look back. And that's exactly what Paul is doing in these verses here. He's looking back on his life. He had some time. He's expressing this to Timothy, but I think he had a lot of joy in it because he realized where he could have been if it was not for the grace of God. Now, that doesn't say hard things and bad things don't happen to us. Things do happen. Things will happen. I was looking at it this way, again, thinking about those that are sick. It seems like there's more information coming or things happening. And Sister Sonia, let's remember her in our prayers. It just seems like you get this one news after the other sometimes, and it gets heavy and it gets burdensome. And you think, why? Why, Lord? Why? Lord, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve that. And I think in my life, who knows what the Lord has in store for me? Only He knows that. But I believe the Lord wants us to slow down and be thankful for what we have today. You think about it like that. That's why this is so personal. There's people that I feel sorry for, or I feel sympathy for, and that's a feeling. When you think about thankfulness, it's a little bit different than a feeling. A feeling is something that you can have for yourself or for somebody else. When you're really thinking about thankfulness or being thankful, that's something you yourself can only express for yourself like you can. Does that make sense? That's what you can really share with God. It's not necessarily a community thing. I mean, we can be thankful for each other. But one thing I want us to see here this morning, the importance of being thankful directly to God. I know I've talked a lot about thankfulness, but Brother Daniel sent me something this morning, a text, and he said that Preacher Greg Thompson had said something along these lines, that unless a church or Christians, unless Christians are thankful, they will never be worshipful. Now, really, let that sink in. If we take things for granted and think it's just going to happen, we're not going to worship God for things the way that we're supposed to. I really want to get to a place or being a place in my life that I'm giving Him the worship that He deserves. And it starts with our thankfulness toward Him. If we're not careful, we can let other things hinder that from us. And I was looking at it with thinking about people. They have this sickness they don't deserve. Why? Why is this going on in their life? Why is this happening to this person? This is a young person that doesn't deserve this. That's kind of how my mind works. And I'm just speaking personally this morning from my thoughts and how I feel. And then you take that upon yourself and it gets heavy and it gets burdensome, the best you can do. And I thought about it, and like, they don't deserve that. And this morning as the choir was singing, I was like, Lord, I have something that I don't deserve. And that's peace in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. We don't deserve His goodness and how He takes care of us. And I was thinking about this week and this year. I've had a blessed year, and I would miss it if I didn't thank God for that. How He's been good to me. And it's just a wonderful thing. You feel bad. Sometimes I think, well, other people are facing hardships in their life, but you have to find a way to be thankful also and what the Lord has done for you. See, Paul is looking back on his life and where he could have been. Look where we're at this morning. This is a blessed place to be. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here this morning, and you wouldn't be here either, honestly. I look at it like this. We look at each other, we love each other, we appreciate each other, and sometimes we think we know each other, but you don't know me like I know me. I'm just going to be honest with you. You don't know how rotten and how vile and how disgusting I can be, just to be honest with you. And you know what? If you'd be honest, you'd say, ditto, preacher, I'm right back at you. That's the way this flesh is. You see, that's why, Brother Dale, when I think about God and His goodness to me, I don't deserve it. He shouldn't be that good to me. There's no reason why He should be that good to me. No reason. We look at each other and we say, well, I can see why He's so good to this brother or this sister because they're good people. Guess what? We're none good. We're not. We try to be, we want to be, we aspire to be, but we're just not that deserving. Let's just be honest. But my goodness, how good God is to us. I just, the title this morning, a lot of times I'll blow right past that, but the title this morning is Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to take time this morning and just be thankful to Him for how He's taken care of me, how He's taken care of my family, how He's kept us together, and how He's looked after us and everything. There's all manner of things that could have happened and all manner of places that I could be this morning. And I see that. And I think, God, why? Why me? God, I don't deserve this. Why me? Just His protection. And I just want to claim that this morning. I just want to claim His goodness, His mercy, and His grace. That's what Paul is relaying to Timothy here this morning by way of trying to be a blessing or an encouragement to him. And that's what I hope and pray for the congregation this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 12 through 17. Says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Perfect way to start it out. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me, for the account of me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, and me first, Jesus Christ might show it forth, all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I again want to come to You, Lord, just humbly this morning. Thankfully this morning, God, knowing that I can't do anything. I can't do a thing in and of myself, Lord. I've learned that. I see that and I know that. Lord, it has to be You and it always had to be You, God. That's just how it is. Sometimes we might feel differently or see things differently in the moment. But God, we know and understand as we grow, as we experience things, Lord, we can't do anything. It's Your help that we rely on. God, I just want to show my thankfulness to You this morning and just thank Your precious Son, Jesus Christ, for what He did for us on the cross. So thankful for the Sunday school and how that's being brought out, Lord, and just the seriousness of it and the sincerity of it, God. God, I pray for our people here this morning. I lift each one up to You, Lord. I know they're carrying different loads, different concerns. I know their hearts are heavy many times. It seems like we get news upon news and it kind of adds up, Lord, and not just to the pastor, but to the church, to all of us, God, to the families, to those that are experiencing these things. Lord, we want to be a blessing, but we know that our help comes from above. It only comes from You, Lord. God, I just pray that You be with us. Anybody here that's lost, God, I pray You touch their heart this morning. Anybody here carrying the load, God, I just pray. God, I pray that You help them to see the reasons to be thankful, God, what You've done for us. Lord, I just thank You so much again, Lord, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see an interesting testimony here of Paul, and you look at Paul now and you think what he used to be as Saul, it was just a stark contrast, two completely different people. He was a zealous person, and we understand that. He was an all-in kind of person, even if it was wrong. Self-admittedly, he says that I didn't know I was doing wrong. I thought I was doing right. He was one that he gave 110% in whatever it was he was doing. His heart was in it. He wasn't being just halfway. He persecuted the church, and we'll see that here in just a minute. But we'll see here in verse number 12 how he gives God credit, how he gives Jesus specifically credit here. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. And you know, when I read this verse, it almost sounds like Paul's being a little heady, a little high-minded maybe, like he's arrived, but that's not what he's saying. If you could really see and understand his testimony, you'll understand why he's saying what he's saying. That has enabled him to be a part. It says, he enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So if you look at where he was at, he was an enemy to the church. He was an opposite direction of where the church was going. And he didn't know that at the time. He thought that these people were coming in and that they were being blasphemers themselves, that they were being against the law of the Judaism, and he was standing up for his religion. Now, he was standing up in the wrong direction. And see, he didn't understand that at the time. But you think about it this morning, if somebody came in and they started preaching another gospel, would you just sit here and take it? I don't think you would you? I hope you wouldn't. Somebody preaching out of the wrong Bible or saying the wrong things, teaching the wrong doctrines, we wouldn't just take that, would we? So that's where Paul felt like he was coming from. He had his, I don't even know if you can say he had his heart in the right place. He thought he did, but it was wrong. But he was a very strong person, a strong personality. He was the type that it was black and white, it was this way or that way. And what he's saying here and what he's teaching and explaining to Timothy here, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, who had supplied the power to him, who gave him the opportunity to see where he was wrong and show him a different way." You know, if we're heading in the wrong direction, the best thing somebody can do is show us how to get back on the right path. See, this is where his thankfulness is coming from. This is what he's talking about. He's not puffed up within himself. He's the type of person that wants to be involved and wants to do things. You look at the word faithful. So Jesus counted Paul faithful. That means true or firmly adhering to duty. He's the one who took it, whatever his work was, he took it seriously. And that's the way he did things. If he was a tent maker, if that was that's the kind of tent I would want to buy. I'd want the one that Paul made because he would do it right. It wasn't just what he did for the work of the Lord or what have you, what he did in his personal life. He did it right. He had a standard. He held himself accountable. It's a beautiful thing. But see, the Lord, he wanted to take somebody and show the world that he could use somebody like Saul. See, a lot of us, a lot of people, I don't think are willing to try to turn that around. I know a lot of stubborn people. I know a lot of stubborn people, if they got in the right way, that they could be a good Christian for the Lord if they would. They let the Lord do the work. Sometimes people take pride in being wrong and not wanting to be right. But you know, you look back on Acts chapter number 9, you'll see how the Lord turned Saul into Paul. You'll see how it came to be, his testimony. You see here in verse number 13, you see a lot of the old man. It said, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious. You see how the old man is. He was a blasphemer. He spoke against God. A persecutor, that's one who persecute someone unjustly or pursue someone unjustly. And wrongful, injurious, that means wrongful or hurtful to the rights of others. He didn't have regard for other people. It was his way or the highway. And most often it was the highway for people. He'd go into churches or go into synagogues or what have you, or those that were accepting of Christ, and he would take them before the Sanhedrin to have them judged because there was no acceptance. Either you follow me, or that's it. That's the way he did it. It's the way Paul operated until the Lord came and touched his heart. But you see a person that lives that way. But what does the next part of the verse say? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But I obtained mercy. Have you obtained mercy? See, here's my thing. I was just looking at it, and we won't be as thankful as we should be if we don't be real with ourselves about it. You know, I've never killed anybody. I've never done this. I've never that. That's kind of what people do. That we'll go down a list of things that we've never done to try to justify all the wrongs that we have done. That's how it is. I remember when I was a little boy, and I go back to that time because I was 12 when I was saved. You say, well, I was young. You know, I didn't get out. I wasn't older and maybe hadn't experienced a lot of things. But I wasn't the best little young boy, no matter what mom will tell you. You can laugh right there. I wasn't. I was a liar. Who here likes a liar? I was a thief. I took things that didn't belong to me. Have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? The camera's on, so be careful. I mean, you think about it. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes those things. That's not good. See, that's what the Lord was showing me when I go back and I look at my mind and again thinking yesterday, like, Lord, why do I feel so down today? Why is it like that? Lord reminds me, let's go back and let's reflect over some things. Let's reflect over some things that I've brought you through, where you could have been, where you should have been, had it not been for my grace and my mercy. See, that's the only thing I can bring to you today. We're honest with ourselves. We know that it's not within us to have anything good. I think about one of the hardest things we can tell our young people, our lost young people, is that they're good little boys and good little girls. They need to be saved. They need to hear the truth. I'm not talking about beating somebody's confidence down, but we need to be honest with them. See, Paul, what he represents and what he shows and how he lived his life and how he carried it out, if we're not careful, then we'll try to hide those things or not really appropriately show those things. What I mean by that is our young people need to know how if they're lost, they're lost, and they're not good little boys and girls, they need to be saved. See, that's what happened when Paul met up with the Lord. He said, Paul, why kickest thou against the pricks? Or it's hard to kick against the pricks. Why persecutest thou me? See, he had to come to Jesus' meeting. We all have to come to that. What we do sometimes is we hide behind this guise of, I've never done this, I've never done that, I'm a good little boy, I'm a good little girl, and you see, we miss the mark. I thank God when he allows us to see us for who we are. He rips that veil off sometimes and let us see how we are. You think about this week. I don't even know how else to say it. I look for analogies, I look for illustrations, but this might not be as smooth, as pretty as you want it to be sometimes. It's just real. You think back this week, some of the things that you thought about. Would you like for us to let you come up and tell the church about what you thought about this week, everything you thought about? Everything that crossed your mind? Now are you good? I'm not. I'm human. My goodness, I need Jesus. I need him more every day. Brother Raymond is talking about how this lesson, how it just seemed deeper, this go-around, as he studied it before, but studying it again, talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, every time we study that, it should get more and more special to us. Because we should really start to see how more and more we need him, especially in these days to come. I was struggling. I told Brandy, we were trying to study. I'll be honest, I went to bed last night not knowing what the message was going to be this morning. Now, I don't like that. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know why it's like this. And I'll tell you, he really laid something on my heart yesterday. I was taking photos and kind of doing my daily work and doing things, and I was trying to focus on what the message would be and try to really pray on it. And it's like, Lord, help me with this. I'm having a hard time with this. I'm just not seeing it this week. What's wrong? Why are you not talking to me? What's wrong? And I just remember saying, Lord, I need you. I can't do this. And he said, exactly. I think it was a stark reminder, Jason, it's always that way. You can't ever do it. You always need me. It's not about just doing something. It's about doing the right thing, doing what the church needs, what our families need, what our lost people need. You see here, Paul, what he was reminded of is who he was. That's what he was thinking about. Who he was and where he was at before the mercies of God. He obtained mercy. Mercy, that's to treat an offender better than what he deserves. God has treated me way better than I could ever deserve. I have something I don't deserve. We always look at it on the other side, or many times we look at it on the other side, but look at this morning what you have that you don't deserve. You see, verse number 14, it says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. See, grace isn't a wonderful thing. It's just that when Jesus looks down and says, look, you don't deserve it. You and I both know that, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I'm going to be good to you anyway. We have a merit system that usually it depends on a person's actions. If you do something wrong, then punitively, something bad is supposed to happen for you to pay for that. That's how the judicial system is supposed to work. It actually rises and falls with money, though. Let's be honest. How much money do you have? You might be able to get out of it. It don't work that way with salvation. God don't care about your money. He don't care about your works. He looks down on each one of us, and he knows we're unworthy. It's unmerited. Isn't that an amazing thing? To think God looks at us like that, because a lot of times we don't look at people that way. We see their shortcomings, their failures, or they look at my shortcomings and failures, and this is what you deserve. This is what you're supposed to get. What did you think was going to happen? Brother Dale, I'm so thankful for a God that is so long-suffering that he's saying, I know you're not worth it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You don't deserve it. We're worth it in his eyes. He said, I'm going to give it to you anyway. He gives us that long-suffering. He gives us, how many of you are patient people? I think sometimes the older I get, maybe the more impatient I get. That's not good, is it? The way society is set up is immediate. You immediately get things done. The faster, the better. Aren't you glad that God is patient with you? Nobody has been patient with me like Jesus has. Nobody. We think that we should be maybe at a certain place, or maybe sometimes think more highly of ourselves or think more deserving of ourselves, but we don't deserve those things, but he gives it to us anyway. That's how Jesus is. He sees something there that nobody else can see. He places value there that nobody else can see or understand. That's how he works. That's how he is. I'm just so thankful for my relationship with Jesus this morning. That's honestly everything to me. If the only thing that you have, that you know that you have, is salvation in Jesus Christ, that's enough. Please know that. You think of times of persecution, I'll say it like this, and I wouldn't even plan to say this, but you think about those people in school shootings, or people who were persecuted, people that Paul persecuted. Said, do you believe in this Jesus? And your life depended on it? See, that's what I'm talking about. It could come to that. People say, yes, I believe in Christ. And they were killed because of that, just because they believed in Christ and they did not deny him. People have died for that. But don't you know their salvation, their faith in Christ? You talk about the reward, the immediate reward when they saw Jesus for the first time right after that. Might be kind of deep and hard to imagine, but that's the reality of some people's lives. Look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know, sometimes we think we were facing hard things or dealing with hard things. People have faced some very hard things. Christians have faced some very hard things down throughout time. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. You know, any amount of grace that God would show to us is enough. Think about that. I read this a few times. Thought about his grace, his goodness, his kindness. Any kind of grace would be enough, Brother Nathan. But it says here it was exceeding and abundant. And there's more. And there's more of it. So that's what Paul was expressing here. He saw where he was at. You imagine when his eyes were opened, his eyes were opened. And I believe a lot of it is, what have I done? How did I live like that? How could I be so against the goodness of God and then all of a sudden God be this good to me? That's grace. I would hope and I would pray that we all would be able to identify with that this morning. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. That's his mission. You know, looking at that, and Paul, I guess he could say he had reason to say why he was chief, but you know, you and I, if we're real with ourselves, we should kind of place ourselves in that position. I tell you, it's easier for me to hold my brothers and sisters in higher esteem than myself because I know myself better than I know you. But I know we're all human at the same time. That's why I'm so thankful also that God is so forbearing to all of us. He just loves us that much. Christ died for sinners, the bad ones, the worst ones, just like Paul. What he was talking about here. You see who Paul was before, now you're starting to see who he is or what he obtained later on in life. Verse number 16, it says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life." Now, Paul wasn't the first one in the church. That's not what that is saying. Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He's the head and the cornerstone of the church. We understand that and know that, but I want you to see the pattern here. That's what it's talking about. The way this pattern works. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." Jesus showed mercy on Paul because he had a mission for Paul to accomplish. Paul had a bad reputation. And I guarantee you it took some time for people to come around because they probably thought Paul was trying to trick them or lure them in to kill them, more than likely. People within the church. Because they knew there for however long he stood against the church. But God took that man, transformed him, and turned him into a witnessing machine. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, you and me. So he obtained mercy so that in him first, that Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering. So when you look at Paul's life, and you see how patient that God was with Paul, that you could look back on your life and say, well, if he was that patient with Paul, he'll be that patient with me. See, that should be an encouragement to you and I. That should be something, a blessing to you and I, something that's uplifting to you and I this morning. "In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern unto them which hereafter believe on him unto life everlasting." Paul's mission after he was saved, after people saw his life, saw his testimony, and as he shared it with other people, then that is exactly what you and I are supposed to do. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to be very trying, but that is what the Lord has called us to do. Lead other people to him. You see the pattern, how it continues and how it keeps going and how it moves on. "But he obtained mercy. In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting, to life everlasting." Verse 17, he gives this honor to God himself. He says, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He gives him the honor that he deserves. I'm keeping it short this morning, but I just want to give you an opportunity to do what you need to do this morning. If you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling down, you're feeling out about life, about things, I want you to have the opportunity to reflect on your life and just ask yourself, has God been good to you? Can you say thank you, Jesus, this morning for things he's done in your life? He's been way better to me than I've been to him, obviously, but way better than I deserve. I think things are, as we move on into the future and the closer to the Lord's coming, I just kind of see sometimes or feel sometimes that it gets harder and harder to move. Or we maybe, not this church, but as the church, kind of get more and more set in our ways, just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. The world needs to see Christ in us. If you will stand with me this morning, I'll stop here.